Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today our scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." What a tremendous verse. Do you realize that God unconditionally loves you? He takes you just the way you are. He cares for you and He meets your need each day. And this is a tremendous verse that tells us that He wants to hear from us. You know, He loves us so much. And to love someone means you have to communicate back and forth. And we need to read the Word of God. That's how He communicates to us and speaks to our minds and our hearts. But we need to talk to Him. We need to pray. And he wants us to pray. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. We can have our sins forgiven. We can confess our sins because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we find grace in time of need. We all have needs. We all have things that only God can help us solve. So we need to come into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we need to present our requests to Him. But He's a loving God who wants to hear from us. And the more He hears from us, the closer that we walk with Him. So I hope that we continue to have deeper and better prayer lives so that we can continue to know God better and better.
Sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Sometimes alleluia, sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one.
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Jacob and Sharon Siveraj. It is such a blessing to be hearing about God's calling in their lives, the way they were married, and all the wonderful things that God has been doing in their lives. We thank you so much for their desire to church plant in southern India. They have about 70 children whom they bring in, and they feed them and give them a place to stay, and they give them a Christian education, as well as the opportunity to share Christ and see the love of Christ in action. Sharon, could you tell us some about the lives of these children?
Well, we have a number of stories that we can choose from, but the ones we'd like to share with you are about three girls in specific, Manju, Nadia, and Saraswati. And these young girls, they had just graduated from high school, and their background was very, they're from very poor homes. So their parents could not and were not able to support them through college. They were really struggling because usually in this situation, what they do is the parents, they'll usually just marry the children, their daughters away to a bit wealthier men who can help support the family. And this was a kid, this was what was going to happen to these three girls in specific. And they approached us and they were in tears. And they said, we don't want our life just to end here. We don't want to just, you know, start just be married and start bearing children. And that's it. We can't do anything else. And we want to go to college. We want to study. We want to learn. And when we heard this, we first of all put this in prayer before God, and soon enough we had people who stepped forward to say, okay, we're going to help these children go to college. And they wanted to do medical studies. They wanted to be nurses. So they joined a course in medical, and it's a GNM course, the general nursing midwifery course. And in fact, they've came through 3 years of studies, and they just graduated about 2 months ago, and it was just wonderful to see their happy faces and their tears in their eyes. And they said, thank you so much for making that difference in our lives. When we go back home, we're actual nurses now. We don't have to just get married away immediately. So that's one of the stories that happened there.
But more importantly, they found Jesus. So when they go about their nursing duties, they can share the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The other thing that we taught them was, you tell Jesus about this first, because although we can help you and we can advise you and do this and that, in the end, it is God who will bless you, and He is the one who will hear your prayers. So when they heard that, they began to pray. And in fact, one of the girls, she fasted. She fasted for about 3 days without any food or water. And she put this prayer before God, and she said, Lord, please answer our prayers and please do something for us.
What about some of the boys? Do you have another story to share?
Well, we have Jagdish that we'd like to share with his story. And when he came to our home, he was only 7 years old. He was a cute, wonderful, cute little kid. But there were times when he would throw these tantrums and he would get so angry. He'd want to go fight with the bigger boys and like fist fight with them. And it was a bit of a struggle trying to, help him through this. And we decided, okay, we need to sit down and talk to him about this and help him and see what's going on. And so there were one of us who approached him, and we were talking to him and asking him, Jagadish, what is it? Why are you so angry? What is it that is hurting you? And he went into his bedroom. He went into his dormitory. And he brought out a sari, which is in one of the Indian dresses that the women wear. He brought out this sari and he's holding it and he's hugging it. And he said, this is my mom's, but she's dead now. And with this anger in his eyes, he said, and that's then the only reason why she's dead is because of my father who actually burnt her alive, who lit her on fire, poured kerosene on her and lit her on fire because he was angry and he was drunk at the time. And because of that, I will never forgive him. And when I grow up, I'm going to do all I can to murder him, to kill him. When we heard that, we knew that we needed to pray with Jagadish and tell him about the forgiveness of Jesus. And as we spoke about the forgiveness of Jesus, that he'd forgive us, that he'd forgiven us and our sins, he looked at us with his eyes changed. That anger went out of his eyes and he said, I think I need that forgiveness. I want to change. I don't want to be angry like this. At that moment, he accepted Christ and he decided that he wanted to forgive his father too. It took some time, but he eventually did. And he's still here with us at our home. He's 16 years old now. And the wonderful thing about that is that God has made a difference in his life, because today he's always smiling and he's always happy. He's happy. He's a happy boy now. And you look at him, he barely gets angry. And we can tell God has changed him.
The power of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing with us these stories. It's such a blessing to talk to you and hear these stories of how God is working in India. Just goes to show how each missionary has a unique opportunity, has a unique way of reaching people for Christ. We reach out in so many different ways at Global Outreach, through evangelism, through church planning, through Christian education, through orphanages, through children's home. What a difference it makes when someone goes and shows the love of Christ to these people, especially a 7-year-old boy who had such anger, but today is serving Jesus and has actually forgiven his father and is going to make a huge difference in India. We thank you for being with us in the studio and for being a part of Global Outreach Missions family. We will continue to pray for you and your ministry, and I trust that many of the listeners will pray for you as well. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We are so thankful that you have tuned in week after week and listened to our broadcasts. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the help of our listeners. So please continue to pray for us that God will continue to provide so that this ministry can continue into the future. This month is Father's Day, and so we're offering a wonderful booklet entitled Christ in the Old Testament. It talks about 13 Old Testament people who foreshadowed Christ. And it's a tremendous little booklet that brings people closer to God, but also shows faith and Christ in the Old Testament. It's something that you don't want to be without. Please write us at Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. That's Christ and the Old Testament. Please pray and write for this booklet.
There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you, for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea.
Today's message is from the Reverend Art Larson and is entitled Jesus in the Midst. I know that you will enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Have you ever said no to someone you really loved or someone who really loved you? Maybe it was a proposal or a plan. And for some reason, even though you may have misunderstood, you still wanted your own way. You thought your way was better. That's so common today in this humanistic society. People are constantly saying, my way or no way. There was a man in the New Testament. He was just like us. Three times, though he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, no, Lord. His name was Peter. And oh, how we see ourselves in Peter. Someone has said, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Remember, Jesus said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Jesus also said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The lordship of Christ in our life is not a matter of words, but deeds. Jesus said again, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Let's look today at three times, three incidents from the life story of Peter to help us learn and practice the lordship of Christ in our life personally. Three times Peter said, no, Lord. The first one is in Matthew chapter 16. I'm reading beginning at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and rise again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus is saying he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer, he must be killed, and he must rise again. A divine imperative that embraces the cross, the empty tomb, the redemption of mankind, the plan of God from the foundation of the world. And Peter begins to say, no way, Lord, never. It shall not happen. The Lord just announced his divine program for the redemption of mankind and for the future. And Peter now produces his own alternative imperative. But it is an impossible one. You can't say no and Lord at the same time. If you say no to his will and his word, then he isn't Lord. Whatever you may say, you believe. If you say Lord, then the only possible response is yes. Like Peter, we have a lot of learning to do, don't we? This shall never happen to you, Lord, he says. Well, Peter was utterly mistaken. It had to happen. And our alternatives cannot change that fact. To live under the lordship of Christ is to say, not my way, but yours, Lord. And Peter reacted in a way out of love for Jesus because he didn't want to see the harm come to him that Jesus was talking about. But Peter had moved away from being directed in his thoughts by God to being deluded and diverted by Satan. You see, Satan wants to keep you from letting Jesus be Lord in your life, because he will keep you then from one of the greatest joys and freedoms that can come to an individual life. When we resist, when we say no to the cross and self-denial, then Jesus changes our plans. Jesus had said, not my will, but thine be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Jesus said on this occasion to Peter and all the disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. Our Lord is saying to Peter, you've got to look at things God's way. What looks to you like pointless suffering and tragic death is actually the heart of God's purpose of grace and glory for his people. If you're going to come after me, Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and literally die. Die to your own ambitions, your own desires, your own plans, your own purposes. To be submitted to Christ's lordship means living every day at his disposal with his plans for your life, even when you don't understand them. And that's not threatening. It's gloriously liberating. And it is so much better to let him have his way than to have our own way. So even when Jesus changes our plans, our rebellion will not change the fact that Jesus is Lord. If I choose in my foolishness to try to rebel against him and his will, I can never win in that struggle. Oh, I've lost that battle many times. Why not yield to the loving kindness of a God who loved you and sent his Son to die for you, and of whom the Bible says works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose? I wonder if someone today is listening who's facing that kind of struggle. God is calling you to some sacrificial service, some challenging situation, perhaps even some suffering. And he asks, indeed, he lovingly demands that you follow his steps. But the plans you had made were very different. And the issue is, who's going to be Lord? What if your ambitions are not fulfilled? Supposing you don't get that job or that promotion or meet that particular person. Now, I know that it's not easy, and we can sometimes become bitter about things that happen, but we dare not remain that way, because God knows far better than I do what's best for me and what's best for you. God brings things, changes our plans, not to make us bitter, but to make us better. Did Peter learn that finally? Oh, yes, he did. The cross did happen. Jesus suffered there, died there, rose again, shed his blood for the redemption of the world. And now Peter writes later in 1 Peter 4:13, rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Peter also adds, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. When Jesus Christ is Lord, he changes our plans. Maybe he's doing that right now in your life. Let him do it, my friend. There's a second time when Peter said no. It's found in John chapter 13. On this occasion, Peter said no to cleansing and submission. And when he does that, the Lord crushes his pride. In John 13, we read that Jesus rises from supper, lays aside his garments, takes a towel, girds himself, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. It's just before he goes to the cross. It's just before Judas betrays him. And yet he humbles himself like a servant to wash the disciples' feet. And when he comes to Simon Peter, Peter says to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And Peter answers, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." "No, Lord." And Jesus answers him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter then says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus replies, "He that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. You're all clean, but not all." Referring to Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him, Jesus gently warned Peter, "Don't resist what you don't understand about my dealings with you." And for you and me, remember, Jesus is Lord, even when we don't have a clue as to what he's doing in our lives. It crushes our pride. It goes against what we think in our own limited way. So Christ is Lord not only when he changes our plans, but when he crushes our pride. And oh, how he did that for Peter. Submission is a requirement for being a Christian. And here was the servant Lord Jesus Christ, prepared to stoop even to the washing of his disciples' feet. And he said to them all, "I have set an example that you should do as I have done. If you have washed one another's feet, you will do as I have done to you." No servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent to him. And just as the way of the cross is indispensable to the life of faith, so is the path of lowly service indispensable. These disciples had a problem, always arguing who would be the greatest, and now Jesus teaches them that humility, crushing their pride, is the way to abundant service and joy. And he says to them, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Are you prepared to submit to what God does in your life, even though you may not understand it? That is the lordship of Christ in practice, stooping in humility to serve others. Oh, Peter learned that. Will we? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:5, "Be clothed with humility." He couldn't forget the time Jesus girded himself with a towel and washed their feet and said, "If I've done this, then you should wash one another's." "Humble yourself," Peter writes, "under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We only have a few minutes more, but we want to look last of all in Acts chapter 10. It's the third time when Peter says, "No, Lord." And this time he says no to compassion and service. First it was to the cross, and Jesus changes his plans. Then it was to cleansing and submission, and Jesus crushed his pride. Now Peter says no to compassion and service, and Jesus has to challenge his prejudice. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's in Joppa at Simon Tanner's house on the roof, praying before his midday meal, and he's very hungry. The cross and the resurrection are now behind him. The day of Pentecost has come and gone. Peter has been filled with the Spirit and greatly used in bringing thousands into the kingdom. And now God gives him a vision. He wants him to go to the Gentiles, and Peter's a Jew, and he doesn't want to do that. Heaven opens, and a large sheet comes down with four corners. It contains four-footed beasts and reptiles and birds, and the voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord. No, Lord." Oh, Peter was so full of prejudices. He realized that some of these things were forbidden in the Old Testament to kill and eat, and yet the Lord says, "Now, do it." God says, "Three times to do it." And three times Peter says, "No, Lord." Finally, God tells him to get up and go down. And there was Cornelius and a band of Gentiles that he was about to lead to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, sometimes we have prejudices too against others. We are faced every day with people from every walk of life. It seems as though from every color and creed and from many, many places on earth. And we need to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them for the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of everlasting life. And often when God asks us to go and witness to them, we say, "No, Lord, not me, not now, not them." Oh, how he challenges our prejudices so that we will finally say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go." He crushes our pride so that we will say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do." He changes our plans so that we say, "Yes, Lord, I'll be what you want me to be." Someone has written, "As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, 'How can you be so slow?' 'My child,' he said, 'what could I do? You never did let go. Let go today, my friend, and let him be Lord of your life.'"
I know the message you just heard was a real blessing to you, and I trust that you'll be able to apply some of the principles that were spoken there to your own life. Here at Candace National Bible Hour, we're so concerned about your spiritual life. We're so thankful for believers that can grow and be enriched and encouraged by the Word of God, but also we're concerned about those who may not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it tells us that we can know that we're believers in Christ. And if we don't know, maybe we need to reevaluate our spiritual life and ask Jesus to come into our heart, realizing that Jesus did all the work on the cross. He bore our sins in his own body. As he hung there, he took our place and were redeemed by his precious blood. The scriptures tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scriptures also tell us that the wages of sin is death. In other words, spiritual death, separation from God forever and ever in a place that's not pleasant. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the gospel. You need to believe. You need to trust. You need to exercise faith. Don't forget to order your copy of Christ in the Old Testament. Remember, this has 13 Old Testament people who foreshadowed Christ, and it talks about actions and events that anticipated Jesus in the Old Testament. It's a tremendous blessing. It will encourage your spiritual life. Please write in to receive your copy of Christ in the Old Testament. You can write to Candace National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit us at our website at www.missiongo.org. That's missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers. May the good Lord bless you throughout this next week.